PodPod listeners, welcome to Positive Approaches to Health, the podcast. Today, per usual, you have my friend over there. Who's that?
This is Jenny Pitcher from CBUS, Columbus, Ohio.
And over here, you've got Tony Toledo from Campbell, California.
Siebel.
And we're going to another C city, which is crazy. We couldn't have planned that, Jenny.
No, we couldn't have. But yet, here we are.
We are. It's the you know, the universe playing games with us, and we love it. Listen, today, listeners, we are so excited to do the second of our National Nutrition Month series. Again, unplanned. It's just the way the world unfolded for us to have had two just dynamo dietitians during National Nutrition Month. And this particular episode, we get to go out to Cincinnati, Ohio, for our guest. And it is really fun. And I'm going to let Jenny do a bio because our guest lives not too far from Jenny.
Yeah, she's pretty close by, just down in Cincy, maybe an hour and a half. So her name is Lisa Andrews, and she is a seasoned dietitian, three-time cookbook author, and owner of Soundbites Nutrition in Cincinnati. She has several years of experience as a clinical dietitian, community dietitian, and adjunct instructor. She shares her nutrition knowledge through cooking demos, teaching, and freelance writing, and serves as a consultant for multiple nonprofits. She is active in her community and is an Ohio, that's hard to say, an Ohio delegate for AND, the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Her line of food pun merchandise, Lettuce Beat Hunger, I love it, supports those suffering food insecurity in Cincinnati, which is amazing. And we will put her website, Soundbites Nutrition, in the show notes so you all can check her out. But she was just fun. That's my word, which is not in our GIF acronym, but she just made me really happy. Maybe I can say the G is for glad, because I was very glad to get to know her and glad to come across her work. And, you know, her work is very innovative in the space that we talked to her about, which is her Lettuce Beat Hunger and her food pun info. I mean, we talked to her about a lot of different stuff, but I think it's very innovative, which is the I in give. And educational. So that's another letter in the give acronym. So, you know, she educates through her puns, her food puns and humor. And she's just very, very clever. So I would say the last word that I could use from the GIVE acronym is V, value, because, you know, it's a value add. What she's doing is on top, a cherry on top of all the other amazing work she engages in. And it does add a lot of value because, as we've said before on this podcast, humor is a way to connect. And she certainly does that.
Woo! Beautiful. And it's funny when you say that, Jenny, humor is the way we connected. So, we spotted each other across the hall and we're like, you're crazy. I'm crazy. You're funny. I'm funny.
Let's be crazy together. And I believe that our offices, like they separated us because we were just having a lot of fun at work.
Oh, totally. Anyway. Well, I also think back sometimes to my, this is a bit of a tangent, but it's just making me laugh right now. When for our, to be hired to work with you all, we had to do teach a class as part of the process. Yeah. So we had to come into a group of people we never met before that, you know, had this established relationship, and we had to come in and do a special talk, and it was on physical activity. And, you know, the other day I was thinking back to how crazy you guys must have thought I was, because I walked in with a suitcase. Do you remember?
Oh, I remember. And I was like, whatever it takes, we need to hire her. Like, give her the moon. What she needs to be with us. It was awesome.
I'm like thinking, Because it was basically a theme of like anywhere you go, you can do physical activity. So it was a suitcase with all these things in it, and it was total prop mania. Like I went for the stars, and I thought after the fact, and I thought the other day, you guys must have been like, "Who the heck is this?"
No, I loved it. We loved it. And of course, we loved it.
Well,
And
I'm
then
going to tie it back to Lisa because you said cherry on top, and for you listeners, listen for the Bada Bing reference in here in this episode because humor is threaded through everything she does. And you know, our philosophy on this podcast and one of our tenets when we started it was we take this work seriously, but we don't take ourselves that seriously because that actually helps us. It helps our patients, our clients, our communities. So I think that's the other reason why Lisa just it was like this undeniable force that we had to have her on the pod. So finally making
yeah.
it happen after a long time. Super great. I'm going to go through my quick give acronym because of course we didn't overlap at all, Jenny, but we
I
had
love
a little
it.
bit of overlap in sort of the gestalt, you know, the overall items here.
Yeah.
G, I have gifted. I have G, groovy. And I mean it. She's groovy.
I love that.
I've got two for I, and they're not what you said, even though innovative was in my head, because she's, you know, such an innovative educator and she reaches you in such innovative ways. But along the same lines, instructive. And I picture her with those high school students and her relating to them, and it's just a special thing. The other thing was pulling from the improv. I love this idea of improv in music and comedy and cooking. I just heard this episode talking about chaotic cooking the other day. And Jenny, I think we need to do an episode on that soon,
I love
embracing
it.
that. For V, I have visionary.
She is. That's the innovative that I, yes.
Well, and the visionary too, when I think about, I mean, even our little conversation on some of the new things coming through in the nutrition world, you know, it's like, in order to be a visionary, you need to be able to sit with what has been, what's happening now, and where we're heading, and pulling them all together. And that complicated little conversation we had, I think, speaks to the capacity to be a visionary person.
Yeah. Not everyone can do that.
No. And listen, you know me, I bump up a lot against that sometimes. But the next V is versatile. And I think that's the other thing. If you look at what she's doing, she's done clinical. She does school teaching. She does private practice. She's doing cooking classes. She's an artist. She's a business person. So V. Then my two E's are, along with versatile and those things I just described, enterprising.
Yes.
My last E is express, because I think that, again, and when we get to the music at the end here, at the end of the conversation today, I feel like so much of what we try to do in our worlds as humans, but as professionals, especially as people working to help people change behaviors for a lifetime, we have to be able to express ourselves in unique ways because everybody receives differently. So,
Yeah.
anyway, I just don't know why, but express just like, boop, slap
I
me.
like that. Well, and the way she's expressing herself through her art and her, humor is just, it speaks to an audience that she wouldn't otherwise probably reach. So
Right.
I love that.
So, guys, listen, enjoy our friend Lisa. Just let it wash over you would be my advice. We bounce around a little bit, but we get to the heart of the matter as much as we can in a top layer kind of conversation. On the back end, we do have a little bit of music, a musical reflection, and a playlist for Lisa. But other than that, you know, this might be one that's fun to share with other people. We really are appealing to folks to not only listen, but subscribe, follow, rate and review, because again, this is how we reach more people, and that's our calling. That's what we're doing.
Love it.
Okay, we'll catch you on the back end of this. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy this conversation.
Hello and welcome to the Path Pod. I'm so excited that you're here today with us, Lisa. We have been, I think we had to reschedule this at least once. So
Okay.
I'm excited that it's actually happening and you're here and you're in my backyard. You're in Cincinnati. I'm in Columbus. So that makes it kind of fun because we don't talk to it. Well, we just did talk to someone in Cleveland, but But honestly, we don't talk to a lot of people in Ohio. So welcome to the PATH Pod. We're so glad you're here. Yeah. So I'll just jump right in because we like to ask all of our guests if you can share your path with our listeners. What brought you to nutrition, becoming an RD, and ultimately creating your really just interesting and cute, I think it's super cute, brand and business.
Okay. I would say I started my journey into nutrition for a few reasons. My parents were both dealing with different health issues. My dad had diabetes and seemed to have every complication of diabetes. I mean, high blood pressure, heart disease, renal failure, eventually got an amputation. So that started my interest in nutrition. And then my mom was on every crazy diet under the sun, you know, Weight Watchers, Cleveland Clinic diet, Slim Fast, cabbage soup diet. And it was always this weird dichotomy of she was a great cook, but she never ate most of the food. And it was just really, you know, it just kind of sunk in my head. So it was really kind of sad. Truth be told, I had an eating disorder in high school and part of college. And I think that that sort of drove my interest in nutrition. But I have always been scared to death to work with eating disorder clients. I typically pass those on because, you know, after you're, you know, for a lot of people, once they're recovered, it's just, I don't want to say it's triggering, but it's upsetting. So that's sort of how I got started in the field, to be honest.
Interesting. I think, I don't know if there's research around this, but I would have to think that young girls with moms who chronically diet probably have a greater propensity for eating disorder, I would think. Yeah. So yeah, it makes total sense that that you would go that direction. So after you became a dietitian and you got into this field, what brought you to create such a fun and unique business like you have? And I mean, is your business name NutriGirl, or is that what you call yourself on Instagram, but your business is something else?
My business is actually Soundbites Nutrition. And I've always been a big word nerd. I mean, I think Tony, you're probably about the same age. Jenny, maybe you are as well. You know, give you an example, that Tears for Fears song, Everybody Wants to Rule the World. I used to sing Everybody Wants to Kill a Squirrel. You know, like my friends and I'd be out driving, we'd see a dead squirrel and we'd laugh. Everybody wants to kill a squirrel. I can't sing, but I think I've just always loved words. So part of my journey in nutrition was to eventually to write, for one, but I was also really interested in the clinical piece. And I still keep in touch with my internship director, even now. I mean, I've been an RD almost, I guess, 31, 32 years now. And I kept my little statement of, what do I want my life to look like? I never planned on being a business owner. I did plan on being in some form of clinical nutrition, and then hopefully gradually getting to, you know, the writing stage. And my food pun stuff, I don't know where that came from. my word brain. I like to, that's how I teach. I try to make up little mnemonics for people to remember things. And that's why I think Tony had a question about, why do you call yourself a food pun superhero, or why are you a food superhero? And that's sort of my special talent, I guess, is just using words in a playful way to make food more fun, because I feel like we've just kind of sucked the life out of it lately, you know, with all the crazy diets and restrictions and, you know, thinfluencers that are on all these social media platforms just to shame us for eating. And it's just crazy.
Yeah. You know, I think it's such a powerful and effective tool for teaching nutrition. You know, I mean, it just brings the person right in. I mean, your content is really creative and effective, I think.
Oh my gosh.
I know Tony, Tony's been talking about you forever. So
aw, that's so sweet.
Well, I mean, and Jenny can endorse this, but I'm a word person too. Like,
Oh,
like
yeah.
live for learning new words and, exploring new words and in all different sources and senses. But the playfulness, the whimsy, the joy, because you're right. So much of our work, I mean, think about it. Sometimes when we go to parties, we don't even want to tell people what we do, right? Because then you get the birds start circling and it gets real heavy and you're like, oh crap, now I gotta try to deal with everybody's stuff. But it's like the joy, the fun, that's why Jenny and I do this, because of this joy that this podcast brings us. But I think that, and it's funny when you said everyone wants to kill a squirrel, driving my daughter to school, I think it was yesterday. Of course, she listens mostly to the Beatles channel, and Paperback Writer was on. And I said, I always hear this song and I remember what I thought the words were. And she goes, Mom, I know, take the back right turn, because that's what I made that, right? So I was like, oh, you do that with music and words and your own brain and all of that. But how this manifests for you, this so special, because without really knowing you, other than our circles overlapping, there is this little gift that you have, this little, maybe little is the wrong term, but the special gift you have to create these puns and to use them in really unique ways. I mean, sometimes it's for fun, other times it appears it's for advocacy or other different angles you come in at, which I think is just such a cool lever to pull, so I don't know how much of that is like active processing, or do these things just sort of surface for you?
I mean, sometimes the stuff just comes up. Like, I saw that you were spending time with Ann Cundiff, and she actually interviewed me. Gosh, I'm trying to think how long it's been, maybe 4 or 5 years. And somehow we discovered that we had the same type of cat. And so, Saturday is catter day, and in my head, all of a sudden it was like, oh, it's not catter day, it's cat RD day. It's like dietitians with cat day. And we started discovering like all these people that had cats, and they were from all over the place. I mean, one of our little catter day collectives, we just started tagging people on Twitter. And I think just sometimes it just pops into my head, and it's quirky, but somehow it makes sense. But it gave us like a little sense of community every Saturday to post a picture of her cat. And then it would bleed into, I'm not home, but here's a cat on vacation. So we all sort of started to get to know each other through our cats, which was sort of unusual and not really planned. But then it became this hashtag cat RDAY. So it's like, oh, dietitians with cats. So yeah, I don't know if I sometimes I feel like life is so random, but sometimes you just got to go with it because it's fun and it feels right.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I thought of you last night. I know it's, recency bias or whatever, but I was teaching a group last night and we were talking about vegetables. And one lady was talking about trying this new recipe that happened to have like peas and water chestnuts and onions and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, well, next week I go, peas report back. And, my whole group was like, oh, jeez, God. And I was the funniest person I knew because, I was able to pull this little word in there. So I
Heck
was,
yeah.
yeah. But I'm wondering, like, have you ever had one that was just like your standout that you're just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that came from me and it's alive, or alternatively, one that's been like a flop where you were like, holy smokes, how'd that happen?
I would say probably the one of the most popular ones was a really early one. I mean, there's a few that kind of stuck out. Praise cheeses, which really isn't that new, but for some reason people just love that. So if you're like a big cheese fan, you really like that one. The first one I think I came up with was peas remain seeded. And a lot of people don't really get it. And I'm like, no, if you're on an airplane, they're constantly saying, please remain seated, please remain seated. And so I just kind of came up with peas remain seated. And it's like peas and a romaine lettuce and a watermelon. But there's part of it that like I wanted to have like a kind of a dual message. So like I have one that says, this is the worst, and it's a frowning sausage. And again, I don't want to shame food, But like in Cincinnati, we eat a lot of sausage and it's not the healthiest thing. So it's sort of like, this is the worst, you know? So it's kind of like, it's really not a good food for you, but it's also frowning to make you kind of be like, no, this is not good. I think that one that has really not taken off, which is kind of surprising because Cincinnati is known as Porkopolis. So there's this whole theme of like flying pigs and we have this flying pig marathon and everything. But my husband came up with one. It says swine tasting instead of wine tasting. It's a pig and it has the cuts of the pig and the butt says juicy and it says nom noms and tasty and yummy. And it's just on the different cuts of the pig. And it hasn't really gone anywhere, but I call it my pork positivity because it's a pork positive tea. It's like, hey, you know, we're trying to make pork hip, but it hasn't really, I don't know, only a few people about that one. So.
Oh my God, I'm so glad I'm on mute because I'm snorting over here.
I know, I'm dying laughing too. And I had no idea that Cincinnati was known for like pigs and pork and all the
Oh
things.
yeah, we have for a while we had like painted pigs around the city, so it was this like competition for all these different artists to make these pigs, and like you know near Music Hall there was one that was dressed as a conductor, and they were just these giant ceramic beautiful pigs, but it was like a thing here, so
I wish I would have known because I love pigs. I'm like, that's one of my animals.
oh right on.
Yes.
Oh, Jenny, I thought
No,
you'd send you a
Crystal.
shirt. I bought one from you for my dad. I can't remember which one it was now, but I had to have it. Oh, it was like so niche and so perfect because he's just a little funny character. And then I also got, my sister just happened to send me one of these cards of stationery that I bought from you, which was the Bada Bing with the
Oh,
cherry.
nice. Yes.
And so the reason why that's so popular is because we have a whole thing with the Sopranos. I'm showing Lisa my
Oh,
Sopranos dinner name tag from
my
when I
God,
got
that's
to
awesome.
sit on our friend Tony Soprano's lap, which is a big day for Tony Toledo. Woo!
Oh, that's hilarious. I
So
think you bought Stalker,
I did.
if I remember. And it's really weird. I mean, I might not remember somebody's name. But I'll probably remember like the t-shirt size that they bought and the shirt that they already have for me. I don't know why. It's like, oh yeah, you bought
I
Stalker
did
and
buy Stalker because that's what
yeah.
my dad calls me, Stalker, because I call them like 5 times a day. I'm totally harassing my parents all the time.
Oh,
And
that's
so he'll
awesome.
be like to my mom, he'll go, babe, it's the Stalker, you know. So when I saw your celery thing, was perfect, so
Yeah.
perfect.
That was my way to just kind of make fun of celery juice because at the time that was sort of like the it thing. And I was like, are people really drinking this? Because it doesn't taste good to me. And you know, the whole reason we're eating, or at least for me, is like, I hope we're eating because we think it tastes good, not just because it's maybe, you know, yeah, it's nutritious, that's awesome, but it probably doesn't have any more magical powers than kale. So, you know. So that's where Stalker came from.
I love that. I love that you're kind of, it's almost like you're putting your foot down. You're like, you know, okay, enough of this
Right.
business.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. So for our listeners who, you know, haven't gone on to your Instagram yet or your website, all that, what are the different kinds of items you sell? I mean, you've mentioned t-shirts and I think note cards. Like what other kind of goodies do you have out there in the world?
Well, I seem to have a run on. For a while, people were ordering a lot of mugs, and those are sort of nice to give as a gift because they're not a size. So for a while, like Perfecto seemed to be the most popular mug. I don't know why. I actually sent that pawn. I sent that T-shirt, and this is a true story. I sent a T-shirt to Lin-Manuel Miranda because I had such a crush on him after seeing. I saw Hamilton, not with him in it, but then I saw Mary Poppins and I was like, he's so cute. And I know he's Hispanic and I know that he has his own t-shirt company, but I sent him a Perfecto shirt because Perfecto in Spanish is perfect. And he sent me a handwritten note back, which was crazy.
Oh,
So that was definitely
wow.
like a little highlight of my career. So yeah, my note cards I really don't have online. I sell them more like locally in some little gift shops around here. Like I'm a one woman show and I really need to figure out how to get things on Etsy or get them on Amazon or, you know, package them in different ways. And that's what's sort of my pain point with the things now. I think I just need either like some kind of catalog or something, and still trying to figure that out after way too many years.
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy. We know. I mean, it's just Tony and I. And when you're bootstrapping something like that, you know, whether it's financial or you know, just time. I mean, time is a commodity and it's finite, for sure. So I get it. And so that's kind of along the lines of this next question. I mean, do you have plans for kind of what you want to do with SoundBites Nutrition in the future? Like, is there anything new you're cooking up, maybe for this year, or besides maybe getting a catalog together or getting on Etsy or
I
something? But
wish.
any new partnerships or collaborations you're excited about? Anything you've got in store?
Well, I've really discovered, and maybe this was through the pandemic. I mean, I am an extrovert. I know that about myself. And I'm trying to move away from one-on-one counseling. I get a lot of referrals from physicians. Like my career started as a clinical dietitian at the VA Medical Center, which is, you know, where all the baby doctors are. And once, you know, they all kind of got out, did residency, whatever, I would get a lot of referrals from different doctors for all kinds of stuff. And so I'm trying to move away from that and do more community work. So as far as partnerships, I recently signed on to be like a contract culinary education for a nonprofit that does really, really cool work. They and part of my proceeds have been going to them because their name is La Soupe. It was started by a woman who used to have a French restaurant, and now she rescues, transforms, and shares food. And they also have like an educational component to it. So I helped them for the past, like, I guess, like 3 years working on a curriculum development for a class that they were doing. And then they needed some culinary educators. And so I'm going to do classes for kids, classes for small families. And then they have something on Saturdays called cooking improv, which is, you know, we chop a bunch of vegetables. Some of that gets used for the chefs that are going to make meals for communities. And then people get to cook what they want. So I'll get to like play in the kitchen and be like, hey, throw some cumin in there. Why don't we try some ginger? So, I mean, I feel like part of my mission is just for people to try different food, enjoy it, experiment, get more confident in the kitchen. I have a couple meetings lined up with a few people that have kind of similar nonprofits. Like there's a physician in another like 20-minute part of town, another little neighborhood that's doing kind of like a health center, but she's going to have like a healthy teaching kitchen as well. So I'm going to talk to her soon. I teach high school nutrition. That's a lot of fun. I wear a food punch shirt every week because it gets the kids talking about kale and I don't know, olives and all kinds of stuff. And we go to the kitchen at least once a month. I only teach the class once a week, but you know, we'll do a lesson plan and then we'll go to the kitchen and, you know, give them different assignments to do. Like, okay, you're going to make the cookies with butter, but your group's going to make them with olive oil. And, you know, we're going to scramble the eggs over here, but over here, we're going to hard boil them. And this is, and then we're going to compare and talk about it or whatever it is. So it's just fun. I'm just trying to like make food fun.
Love it. Love it. In fact, I noticed on your Instagram, I actually took a screenshot of the cooking improv sign because I didn't mention it last night in my class, but I plan to in a future class and I'll give you credit. But I just love the concept of, you know, taking the formality out of it all and, you know, building skills and learning that you can. 'Cause with my clients, I try to really focus on the plug and play, you know, and giving yourself permission to utilize, you know, components and try things out. Or I heard this term, the little no thank you, you know, if you try something and you're like, well, at least you've tried it, you know. So those kinds of things, again, it kind of circles back to so many other things we've already mentioned, but it's giving yourself permission to try and grow and learn and not take things too seriously, you know, which I love.
And I think that's that happens a lot in a kitchen. It's like, well, if you don't get the recipe 100% right, it's a failure. It's like, no, not necessarily. You tried something and it didn't work. Now you can just try something else, you know? And my big win last week was this one kid that really hated chickpeas, and yet he ate them in a salad. He was like, these aren't so bad. And I said, well, your taste buds changed. And, depending on how you season things, it changes the texture and the taste of stuff. So it was really kind of cool to see, see them growing in that sense and having a little bit more confidence with trying stuff that they normally otherwise wouldn't. So.
Yeah, and I think one of the other things we have to consider is, of course, our field is changing as far as the demographic and who's in it. But truth be told, our generation and before is a whole lot of recovering perfectionists in this field. If we aren't able to instill and embody this flexibility, this playfulness, this sense of adventure, how is it that our clients or students are going to do that? So I think we're kind of evolving, hopefully, along the way and trying these different things. And I think we're all three on the same page with that.
Well, I just feel like even just in our training, it was like we are always told what to tell people not to eat versus what you can have. I had somebody earlier who's just been a chronic dieter, and I asked about her family history and how many diets she'd been on, and like her mother put her on a diet when she was 11, and she goes back and forth with Whole30 and keto and this or that. And I said, how would it feel if I just said, you're allowed to eat what you want, or you can try different things. And I'm sure that scared the bejesus out of her, but it's sort of like, just like take some baby steps and allow yourself to actually enjoy the food. It's okay. I say I don't work with eating disorders, but eventually, people have issues. I mean, that's just part of who we are. I mean, there's a big psychological component to eating, and I understand that, or try to anyway.
Oh, the disordered eating, I think, makes up the majority of our population, truly. So you're bound to get that. You're bound to run into that, even if you don't work with full-blown eating disorders. I love that you're teaching kids in high school, because that's when I think, like our generation, I know I learned to cook when I was younger because my mom cooked and I learned from her. A lot of kids now aren't getting that at all, as we know. And so hitting them in high school when, they're still like they're okay with, things not turning out so good and experimenting. I think when they become adults, they get even more scared of it, So hitting them at that age, I think, is great because at some point they just like my sister-in-law is like, she just I don't know. She doesn't like to cook. She's scared of it. She has a real big, I mean, I feel bad for her because it's such a fun thing, but it's just not, not anything that she's interested in. But, she's also someone who her grandmother put her on a diet at a very young age and, her brother was allowed to eat things she wasn't, that kind of thing. So,
Which is just crazy that I just look at
yeah.
that and go, God, that's so sad. It's just really sad. I have two daughters, and that was my biggest thing raising them. I mean, they're both like, one's in college already and she cooks for herself. And the other one is like a junior in high school. But my biggest fear having girls was the risk for eating disorders and what they're seeing online and what their friends are doing. And I know, my older daughter has told me a few of her friends have had issues, and they're better now and everything. But that was really, really important to me not to talk. I almost didn't even want to tell them what I did. Like if I did a TV segment and they saw me and it was on like New Year's, and of course everybody wants to know about weight loss, I almost was like, oh, don't even watch it. I look silly or whatever, because I just didn't want that messaging getting in their head,
Yeah, well, Tony, I mean, Tony, I have boys, which I think is a little easier. But yeah, Tony has a high school girl, and yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's a rough thing. And I think, now boys deal with a lot of body image stuff
For
too.
sure.
I mean, it's getting more and more prevalent. Yeah. I don't know if I want to bring this up or not because it's super off topic, but we're talking about this. Tony's giving me the look like, oh dear God, please don't do it.
it
But I'm just wondering what you think about The American Academy of Pediatrics coming out with, these new guidelines for putting kids on medication and surgery, weight loss surgery. Like, I don't know what, Tony, we haven't even talked about this. Tony's like, dear God, I'm just be quiet. I can't deal with you.
I feel like I have goosebumps about the topic because it just, to me, is going to set up this cycle of diet, cheat, repent, repeat, diet, cheat, repent, repeat at such a young age. And to put so much focus on a number, unless the child has like fatty liver disease or pre-diabetes at the age of 14, I just have a really hard time just focusing on BMI and having that be an issue. And surgery just seems so drastic. I mean, surgery to me seems drastic as an adult, but to do that to a child when they're still growing is just really, it's really beyond me. So, and I don't even work with kids. So yeah, that's really scary. And I really hope that there's a lot of pushback, and I hope that there's parents that are able to push back and say, why? Like, why would you recommend this? But on the same token, sometimes I'll have parents that will call and say, well, my daughter's like 16 and she's just kind of putting on a little bit of weight. And I really just want to scream in the phone and say, just please leave her alone. Like, just leave her alone. You know, like, she'll figure it out unless she's got like some disordered habits that you're concerned about. I would not touch the fact that she's not running track this year and she's picked up 5 pounds. Like, let her go. Because I just feel like that whole, just the conversation just is, can be, I think it just can be toxic to especially teenagers.
Yeah.
I know. How do you guys feel?
I'm in the, yeah. And I'm in the currently absorbing phase because, I'm getting calls and emails and texts from my friends to process this. And, this on the heels of the whole Ozempic thing, I just feel like there's just so much noise right now. You know, at the same time that I realize that the whole focus on people with obesity is getting more attention, which, as a nation, we can't ignore it. But, sure. It's also like trying to pick up the nuances because, I'll hear one person that's talking about this full blown, like multi interdisciplinary approach and, healthy this and healthy that. And I'm like, I want to hear that. I want to hear that. And then sure. I know what the potential is even with that, right? So I'm in an internal struggle with it all. And I'm just letting everything sort of sink in and waiting a little bit before I get to a point where I can put together my thoughts. Cause it is like you said, chills you got, my body responds to my heart and my head, and I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel sometimes I feel hypocritical because a lot of the writing that I do is sometimes focused on, and it depends on who I'm writing for, but it's on, appetite regulation or protein and weight loss and those sorts of things. But at the same time, that's what a lot of people are looking for. They do want to know, how can I control my appetite? How can I build more muscle? How can I lose body fat? How can I improve my blood sugar? All those sorts of things. And so much of it is truly weight focused. But I think what I at least try to glean or pick up from people is, can we put weight as like not a goal and just sort of like feeling better and pooping on a regular basis, not to be gross, but it's like, you're concerned about your weight, but like, I'm really concerned you haven't pooped in a week, So the piece about health is just sort of shelved. And so we're really we're definitely in a weird space.
It's going to be really interesting to see, because, at the end of the day, we are responsible clinicians, and we have the tools and the information. And it's that fine line of, we can't withhold. If someone wants to know and we have it, we should be sharing it. But it's like, it comes with so many things that we kind of have to package it in to make sure that we're delivering it. We're also shedding light on different perspectives, and we're honoring, the trigger points. And, it's a little bit like a minefield sometimes, but that's where I feel we are right now. It's like, I feel like I'm trying to navigate that minefield so that I can get to a place where I can think about where we are with all of this and then decide, how's that going to trickle down to how I treat the people who come to me.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
That's a good way to say it, Tony. It really is. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to go there. Sorry. Yeah. We were talking
that's
about it.
That's so. Okay. That's okay. I just actually interviewed or I had Jessica Setnick and my friend Lori Dunham, who are both eating disorder experts, weigh in on a review article I did recently for Food and Health Communications on the new guidelines. And so it's very just top
timely,
of mind right now. Yeah.
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 For sure. For sure. So I want to make sure that we give you the floor, Lisa, and that you have an opportunity to tell everyone, tell our listeners about anything that we didn't maybe talk about or, you know, something that you wanted to make sure people know about.
Sure. Well, you mentioned, you know, sort of what direction I'd like to go, at least with my food pun stuff. I would love to be able to brand stuff for people, like if they like, and I'll give you an example. I have this shirt that says not cheating, just eating. It's an ice cream cone. So, you know, I would love, like, if somebody has a small team of people and they want their logo on the back and they want a certain item, I would love to be able to do that. I've been trying to find different collaborations in that sense. I had a nice order of shirts over Christmas. It was for the Dairy Council that said, eat, drink, and be dairy. And it was from somebody random in Chicago. And it was like, oh, this is so exciting. Like somebody found me, you know? And I think it was through somebody from Ohio that also had the same shirt. But that's kind of my eventual goal, to kind of, you know, spread them in some way. But, you know, I don't know, because they do start a conversation about food. And they, to me, like when somebody reads it and they laugh, I'm like, okay, good. You get my humor, you know? And it just, for me, it just makes a connection.
Well, and you're making a positive connection about food instead of, yeah, that's what I love so much about it is you're teaching through humor, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying.
Well, you're doing a good job for sure. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we're at our last couple of questions here, I think.
Okay. Right on.
So we, of course, are called PATH, Positive Approaches to Health. And so we like to ask all of our guests if you can share with us one or two positive approaches to health that you engage in daily or weekly for your own self-care.
Well, I'm really concerned about dementia because my mother has dementia. So I keep a bag of spinach in my refrigerator, bag of either I have frozen in the freezer and I have fresh spinach all the time. And every day I eat greens of some sort. So that's my one thing from a food perspective. I always like, and a lot of times it's just one of these little hacks where I'll put the spinach on the bottom and then I'll throw the pasta and the whatever I'm sauce. And then I just mix it all in. So I throw spinach into like all my leftovers. That's one thing. I love movement. I love exercise. I have rheumatoid arthritis, so I am a little bit limited. I can't jog anymore. I'm really cautious on a bike because my wrists aren't great, but I took up pickleball about 3 years ago, and oh my God, it's so much fun. So I play with a handful of friends from a neighborhood. We just laugh the whole time. We don't take it too seriously, but it's a really good workout, and I don't feel like I'm exercising. So that's one thing I do that's a blast. I also like to walk. So if somebody says, hey, what are you doing? You know, like I have I don't know how many walking buddies I have, but they always know, hey, they can text me or I can text them and we'll just go. And I try to walk at least like 5 days a week. Cause it's just good mental. Like if it's sunny outside, don't ask me to go to a movie. I won't. I really want to be outside. I love being outside.
Yeah. Well, especially in Ohio, it's not like we get a ton of sun.
Yeah.
Especially in Columbus. I don't know. You probably get a little more sun than we do. I feel like we don't have a lot of sunny days.
Yeah. We had a couple over the weekend, which were nice, but today is pretty gray and poopy outside. So
yeah,
it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know.
And I love the spinach hack. I'm into that one too. So
yeah,
totally get that.
Well, it's so funny. Last night in my group, when we were talking about vegetables, one person said basically what you said. It's they just add spinach to everything. And of course the perennial little Italian girl, I'm like, you're just Florentining everything. You know, you just kind of Florentine everything. And they're like, yes, I Florentine this, I Florentine that. And yeah. I was like, you know, it's a wonderful, wonderful, versatile veg. So
heck yeah. That's a great verb. I love it.
I can't wait till the shirt comes out.
Okay. Oh gosh.
No pressure.
There's always a shirt. There's too many. I have to share this.
Yes.
I don't know if you can see this.
Oh, I love it.
This is more or less, I don't know. My daughter was
that
a Girl Scout
great.
And it just hit me one day. So anyway.
Okay. It's endless, endless font of creative ideas.
Yeah, it's got to stop at some point. I don't know. I can't keep making stuff. That's part of the problem. I don't see what is needed. I just make it and then go, oh, I wonder if this would fit in anywhere. But, oh, you know, what are you going to do? It's bad.
It's fun. It's fun. Well, this is before I get to my question, and it will segue a little bit. But when you mentioned Lin-Manuel Miranda, you know, Jenny, of course, is probably super sick of me and my addiction to Broadway. But, you know, my whole Hamilton phase. And so one of my girlfriends, we all saw Hamilton on Broadway with the original cast years ago.
Nice.
And then she, for Christmas, bought me this book, which is the Star Spangled Banner book in 2016. It's The Making of an American Icon, and it's signed by Leslie Odom Jr.
Oh, wow.
And of course, it's still in the paper because I'm that person that would have like my, you know, my couch covered in that, you know, because it's like a little bit of a special thing. But, you know, it's just one of those things that connection to him and that show, and just, it was just so... so impactful, you know, the music, the story, all of it. So what a cool thing to have a signed little card from them.
My kids are always going like, when mom dies, who gets the card? I was like, wow. No, thanks.
That's awesome. Not the jewelry. Whatever, please. Not the jewelry, but
yeah, they don't want the jewelry. They don't care about anything else. They want that Lin Miranda card, you know.
It's pretty cool. Well, I'll segue from there to music because of that little connection there. But this is Jenny and my road trip going all over the world, virtually and otherwise, meeting people like you and just kind of sprinkling around all these cool things that are out there in with the broad spectrum of health. But on a road trip, you know, music is just vital. And whether it's a mixtape or a playlist, you know, it's essential. What would we likely hear on Lisa's playlist or mixtape?
I am a child of the 80s, and I'm a huge Queen fan. So that one song, Don't Stop Me Now, that's probably one of my favorite songs because, I don't know, it's upbeat and it's just Freddie singing his heart out. And I just think it's a really good road trip song. I also love David Bowie. So like Under Pressure is another really good song that would be in my playlist. And I love Prince. So like kind of anything from that kind of 80s, 90s genre, I'm a big fan.
You hit our sweet spot, huh, Miss J?
I was going to say, we're right there with you. So. I love it.
Yeah.
So fun. Good. Well, this has been very, very fun. We've been looking forward to it for quite some time. And of course, the main goal was to have our listeners know about you and what you do, what you're putting out into the world that truly qualifies as an ultimate positive approach to health. And we are thrilled. It sounds like there's a lot of collaborations in your future, and we are thrilled to be collaborating with you on this little stretch of our road trip. But we just want to give you a big PathPod virtual hug and say thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Yeah, thank you both. I'm glad we finally got to make it work. And I know you guys are both busy and, you know, stuff comes up. And so I appreciate you working me in.
Oh. Yeah, it was great. It was a great conversation. Yeah. And I love your stuff. I love looking at what you have coming out and the new stuff, and keep it going. Keep that brain working.
I will try.
Yeah. Listen to Freddie Mercury. Don't stop me now.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Thanks. Have a great day. Thank you so
you
much.
Too. All right. Thanks.
Bye, ladies.
Take care. Thank you again.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. So that was a super fun conversation. And I said this at the outset, and I'm going to say it now. It makes me happy. It was just a happy conversation. She's doing such fun and engaging work. And so, of course, ever since we had this conversation with Lisa, And I hate when I do this, but I've gotten this song in my head and I can't get it out. And that's the Pharrell Williams song, Happy. It's there all the time. And I'm like, oh my God, here it goes again. But it's so true. It just, that's how I felt when we had that conversation and felt for days after. So, just the work she's doing with the food rescue and the transformation in that area, I think is, it speaks to her heart and how much compassion she has too. So anyway, it was just a great conversation. And the other thing it made me do is listen to Prince again. Like I haven't listened to that in a long, long time. Probably since, he passed, and that was probably 10, over 10 years ago. So more like 15 maybe. Anyway, but of course the song 1999, just because it, to me, it's just a fun song and she's just fun. She's just big ball of fun, Tony. So that's what I got from it.
I love that. And I was muting myself but responding, audibly to Jenny's two songs because those are great and perfect, and those are kind of cherry on top songs. So it's the theme.
They are, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I went a different direction, Miss J. It's really interesting, which is funny. I mean, of course, because as you heard at the end of the episode that with her, the Don't Stop Me Now, Queen. Which took me through a several Queen. I went on a Queen, sort of roller coaster there with I Want to Break Free, We Are the Champions, Under Pressure, Bohemian Rhapsody, because one of the cards she has in her repertoire is Muffin Really Matters. It's a muffin on the card, and
Yes.
I'm pretty
That's
sure I'll never
funny.
be able to sing that song the same way again.
Muffin,
Really
really, I
matters.
can't, I'm so out of tune. Yeah.
Anyway, that was how I came in. So that was the on-ramp to this playlist. And then of course, and I'm going to bounce all around, and there's no way I'm going to get to these all. So if anyone wants this, let me know. But oh my gosh, I have ranging from things like Special Lady from Ray Goodman and Brown, which is a song from, my childhood.
Never heard that.
Pretty sure. The Good Day for a Good Day, which is kind of in line with your two songs that you had. That's from Michael Franti and Spearhead. That's just a cool wash over you, beautiful, good day kind of song. And then I also have the Beatles, Good Day Sunshine, again, referencing
Aww.
her. Along the same lines, I went into a zucchero little lane, my Italian guide, zucchero. There's a great version of A Wonderful World that he does with Eric Clapton, which I love so much. It's kind of makes my throat quiver a
Yeah, I
little.
can hear in your voice.
It's
Yeah.
beautiful. And
Oh.
Zucchero has a special place in my heart for different reasons. Eric Clapton the same, but it's a great collaboration, which is the other thing I think she's really good at. Come Together, The Beatles. She referred to Lin-Manuel, so of course I've got like the Skylar sisters because they've got that great song in Hamilton, but the refrain is work, and she's working a lot of different things.
She's a hustler.
She is a hustler in the best of all terms, and along with that, from the mixtape, the Hamilton mixtape, The Roots with Common and some other people take a version of Who Tells Your Story, which I like. It's a different rendition. And I think that she's busy sharing and helping others with their story, but her story is pretty great.
I would tend to agree. Sorry, I was on mute.
No, you're fine. You're fine. I got a few more. I cannot ignore the words piece of all of this because the words are back to that express and connect and all of that theme through her work in this conversation. So I have Words by Alesso and Zara Larsson, Wonderwall by Oasis,
That's a
Word.
good one, Tony.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it came to me. Word Up by Cameo. I mean, there's a lot of wordy word stuff.
Yeah, I like it.
And then gosh, I'm frustrated because there's so many I want to touch on, but I got to wrap this up. One that I want to make sure to talk about is New Rules by Dua Lipa. You know it?
I don't know. I would have to hear it. I might have run into it, but like it doesn't jump out at me.
When you play it, you're going to go, oh, yes. First of all, Dua Lipa, powerhouse, powerhouse, great collaborator. I think that as professionals in any discipline, but us especially in this young world of nutrition, we are constantly pivoting to new rules, new guidelines, and all of that. And again, we have to be able to figure out ways to communicate, connect, and inspire. And I just feel like new rules kind of captures some of that. I've got a million other songs, but I'm going to wrap up with a couple here that came to me on my run this morning, just before we got here. And the first is, don't get mad at me, but it is super old school. It's We Are the World. Okay.
Oh, I wouldn't get mad at you for that.
Well, it's kind of cliche, but it's got the guys that sang the original, but it's a different mix-up. So I've got that one
Okay.
with Pavarotti kind of being the heart of it, which led me down my Italian vein. So I have a few other songs on here from Pavarotti, and I was connecting to my Nana and kind of getting a little connected
Oh.
today. But the last one is back to a different Italian that I mentioned earlier, Zucchero. And the song I want to end on is Menta y Rosmarino. And that is mint and rosemary, right? So it's
I was gonna say that, but I wasn't sure if it would be right, so I didn't want to look really dumb.
no, you wouldn't have looked dumb. But the reason why I picked that is that, first of all, it's a great song. Bless you.
Was someone who lives with me.
Was worried about the dog. Here comes Brian.
He's so loud.
He just wants to be a part of our podcast, Jenny.
He does in the worst way, and I won't let him. So yes, like do stuff in the background.
All right, well, Menta y Rosmarino. When I think about so many things in our experience, in our career, and I think Elisa is right along the same path, almost on the same timeline with us as far as time on task with our careers and our professions and our passions, that we're not slowing down, and there's a reason for that. And there's so much cool stuff happening, so many cool, interesting people out there and ways to inspire. And I think that Menta and Rosmarino came to me because they are the spices, the herbs, the things that make this special and pop, and the flavors of it all. And I think that through Lisa's work, through who she is and how she is working, she is just adding this unique dimension, this profile, this flavor to our profession that I think is really special. And I wanted to, kind of do a topper of that.
I really like that. I like how you connected that, and I certainly wouldn't have been able to do that. I mean, that's what your gift is, but it's true, and it is like, she's the cherry on top. She's the extra spice. And I think that even though those were herbs, I know, but
Oops, hold on. Ding, 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 ding.
No, I just think it's such a great nod to her and the work she's doing and what she's putting into the world. So
Oh, true.
that's lovely.
Love it, love it. Listen, we'll put everything, all of her deets in the show notes. We're going to promote the daylights out of this. Sure, this is taking place during National Nutrition Month, but this is an evergreen conversation, as I think all of ours are. But we just want to thank her, for being a part of it. We want to thank you all for being this important community. Jenny, as always, I want to thank you.
Thank you too, because, again, I know we haven't said this in a while, but you are the one that decided to put the music in, and I can't thank you enough. I think it's such a unique and just critical part of our podcast, and I just love it. I always look forward to hearing what's on your lists, and it just makes my day, so thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I should put a disclaimer out. This playlist, you're going to see some ease for explicit on some of the songs. And as always, they're not literal translations, what I'm looking at. It's more the feel of the song or maybe a subcontext, kind of thing. But this one was a total blast to create. I think they all are, but this one just struck a lot of nerves. So if you are interested in that playlist, ping me on our Instagram account at the Path Pod, and I will send it over to you gladly. All right, Miss J, love you.
Tony, real quick, one question.
Yeah.
Can people follow you on Spotify?
I believe so. That
So
is
that's another way they could get to that, right?
Oh, that's true. Yeah. So Tony Toledo, I think, and you know, when you once you get the first playlist, you should be able to be in it. So maybe that's the entry point. Yeah.
Yeah. So either way,
Yeah.
I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah, let's show off our tech savvy because we clearly know it all.
Yeah.
Go.
All right, on that note, love ya.
Love you too. Bye.
Bye.